This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
It's that time of year, Jeffrey. Pumpkin beer season.
You know, I don't mind it. I think pumpkin beers get a lot of flack, but every once in a while, there's a few good ones.
This is the fourth pumpkin show that we've done on this podcast. Did it September 8th of 2015, September 30th of 2016, October 17th, 2017, and October 12th of this year is when we're recording this. Every year it seems like I don't look forward to the pumpkin beers, but then it seems like every show that we have, I'm glad that we did it. I'm glad that we tried them. There's like a little, you always find something different or something that you take away from it. Like if I was just going to go out to the fridge and grab a beer, a pumpkin beer is probably not what I was going to grab.
For sure.
But it's kind of good, like we do these shows, because it forces you to, you know, appreciate them, try them, appreciate them. And I think that's what everyone goes through this time of year. They see it on the shelf and they're like, oh, pumpkin, Halloween's coming up. Let's grab that pumpkin beer and give it a try. And it's kind of what, you know, they're doing the same thing. They're trying something a little out of their element, a little festive for the season.
I think it depends on the weather too. Like if it's a long summer, if it was still like 100 degrees out, they don't sound very good. But if it's like tonight, it's sort of a cold, rainy night in Southern California, which doesn't happen very often. A night like this sounds great for a pumpkin beer. So it's kind of like how a barrel-aged stout is going to taste better in different environments.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same with pumpkin beers.
Kind of in Northern California, it's still hot. It's still pushing 90 during the day, and it's not yet really cooling off at night. So I kind of feel like it's a little early for this beer. But, you know, we got to do them now because once the end of October happens, they're pretty much gone.
Well, and we don't have any California beers. And I think we talked about this last year. There's not a lot of California breweries that make a pumpkin beer. It is definitely more of like a Midwest and East Coast thing, I think, because of the temperature change a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that could be why we're seeing so many of them. All right, well, now this pumpkin beer talk makes me want to try some pumpkin beer. So let's get into it here. Let's kick off the show.
49th floor.
Now, here we go. Here we go.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California, this is the pumpkin beer episode of the Beer of the Day podcast. Every year we've done this, and every year it's a lot of fun. We grab a few of the pumpkin beers off the shelf and give them a try and see what's out there. The beers that celebrate the season. And we have five to do tonight from throughout the country: Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Texas. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dal. How you doing?
Doing good. Let's get right into this first pumpkin beer. We have from Due South in Boynton Beach, Florida. Due South Brewing Company. This is called Isle of Magordo. And Magordo is like G-O-U-R-D, like gourd. A little bit of a pumpkin theme there. This is 5.5%. Another correction from the agenda. I think I looked it up on their website. It said 5.0, but this is 5.5 on the can.
Oh, the first pumpkin beer of the season. That aroma. Color on this is pretty, I'm going to say like a golden orange. Looks to be pretty heavily carbonated. Like there's a lot of bubbles all over my glass, you know, ascending from the bottom.
Yeah, this definitely has the right color for a pumpkin beer. It looks thick, you know, it looks almost pulpy. The head is not white. It's a little off white, you know, not quite tan, but on the road there. It's not very clear. You know, Oktoberfest beers are very clear, but this pumpkin beer is certainly translucent.
The head is really like frothy or fizzy. I would say fizzy. I mean, it's going to thin pretty quickly, I can tell, but there's a little bit of lacing on the glass. This looks interesting. Let's give it a shot.
The aroma, I get a lot of pumpkin fruit, like pumpkin pie. And then you get the cinnamon also, like you would get in a pumpkin pie. Like, this almost smells like I opened up a pumpkin pie and took a whiff of it. It really has that strong pumpkin aroma.
Yeah, it's got that spice too. I think what I always look for in these beers is it like an artificial aroma or flavor, or is it like real pumpkin? And I think that makes all the difference for me whether I like the beer or not. So with every beer tonight, I'm going to be looking for that, especially with this style.
So on the initial taste, the first thing I notice is it's highly carbonated. I get a lot of bubbles on the tongue. Sometimes that cuts down on the flavor a little bit, makes it a little harder to taste it. But I certainly, there's the pumpkin is there and the spice is there, but it's kind of reserved. And I'm getting kind of a, maybe an Oktoberfest style beer at its base, which is surprising to me.
I agree with you. It's almost like a lager type of body. It's a light body. It's kind of refreshing. There's certainly the pumpkin flavors, but you know, first taste, this tastes, I mean, I know it's not a lager, it's an ale, but it sort of has the characteristics of a lager.
Yeah, it certainly does. A lot of pumpkin beers are porters or brown ales or stouts. You know, they kind of are in that dark beer family. This is in a light beer family. Now it's amber in color, dark amber in color, orange even. It may not look like your standard lager, but it definitely has the characteristics of it.
So knowing that this is an ale, maybe I would call it like a blonde ale or a golden ale as the base. And then the flavors, there is the pumpkin. I mean, there's a little bit of cinnamon, maybe some clove or nutmeg. I think that'll be common tonight.
Yeah for sure.
Definitely several spices that are seasonal, but it's not overwhelming. I mean, this is a pumpkin beer that I think you could sit down and drink several of, especially if you live in an area like Florida where it might still be hot and you're not going to have like the cold, you know, fall season. I think this is perfect for a pumpkin beer from Florida.
Yeah, I think a lot of pumpkin beers are a little heavier. This is certainly more drinkable. It certainly is a lighter fare, and at 5.5%, you know, that's, you know, straight in that lager range of ABV. So that's not surprising. Now, Boynton Beach is
it's good.
It's by Miami, right?
Yeah, it's like on the east coast of Florida, a little bit northeast of Miami, near like Fort Lauderdale area.
Okay. Well, I think that they largely avoided this last hurricane scare.
This is a good brewery. We've had a couple of their beers, I don't think on the podcast, but a couple of years ago when Hugo, who's one of our, you know, travel partners for our beercations, and he's been on a few podcasts, he used to live in Florida. He brought back some beers from Due South, and they were good. They have one that's called Category 5 IPA that's pretty tasty. So this is not our first beer from Due South, but this is a pretty good representation of the style.
Well, that's certainly an interesting pumpkin beer. Not quite what I expected, but definitely a pumpkin beer worth trying. So a good way to kick off the show. Before we get into the news, though, you mentioned that you had some beer experiences to share.
Yeah, I just got back from Salt Lake City and Park City, Utah, which was a really fun trip. I was there for a couple days. Utah's probably not the place most people think of to go on a beercation, But I wanted to try it. I went with a couple friends that used to live there, and it was really interesting because, you know, Utah has all these different liquor laws. It can be a challenge at times to drink in the state of Utah.
You sent me a picture of a brewery, and you sent me a picture of the board up, you know, with all the beers you can choose from. And they had a lager and a stout, a pale ale, an IPA. They had every style you can think of, 12 different ones up there. And then underneath each one, it said 4%, 4%, 4%, 4%, 4%, 4%, 4%. Every one of them was 4%.
Yeah, and that's the crappy thing is, there's this law that says draft beer cannot be higher than 4%, which for some styles is problematic when, you know, all these different styles are sort of made, you know, brewed to be at a different ABV. I mean, to make like a stout or something at 4% is really like not true to the style by any means. So that's,
I don't even know
that's
how
kind
you
of the
do
crappy
it.
Thing.
I think you brew a stout as low ABV as you can, which ends up being like 5.5%, and then you just water it down till it's 4%.
Yeah, and you know, it's different at every place. It seems like there's all these different types of licenses, and the laws vary depending on whether, like, there's all these loopholes too, so there's ways around stuff, and it's changed a lot. Like, the laws are constantly changing. There's loopholes depending on whether the beer or if you go to like a distillery, if it's made on the premises, there's different laws for serving, or if it's just a tasting room but not made there, it's a different law. And so it's really like tricky to figure out what you're doing. Or there's even stuff like whether kids are allowed or not. They have this thing called the Zion Curtain, which is this law that basically says if you go to like a place and order a cocktail, they have to actually go behind, like back in like the kitchen area, and make the cocktail so that you can't see it physically being made, because I guess the theory is kids could see this being made and then they're going to have an interest in alcohol and turn into alcoholics or something. So if you order a cocktail at one of these places, they go behind this like wall, they make your cocktail, and then they bring it out to you. It's really weird. It's not every place. Again, it depends on what type of liquor license that establishment has. It's kind of fascinating, though. I mean, truthfully, we got by just fine. We went to a lot of places. It's kind of an adventure to go to different places and try to get drunk in Utah, because it's not as easy as you would think. But it was a lot of fun, and it actually is a very like up and coming craft beer area.
Who knows if we'd even had this podcast if people had to go behind a curtain to mix drinks in California.
Yeah, and there's all these other things. Like I became sort of an expert on this. Like, there's a loophole, like the draft beer at 4%, like you mentioned, that's only for draft beer. But if they serve bottles or cans, it's the higher alcohol beer. So you can open up a bottle of 8% beer, no problem, depending on what license they have.
And pour it into a glass.
Yeah. There's also these weird things like, certain places have to serve food. If they serve you alcohol, they have to serve you food. So one of the breweries we went to is called Wasatch, which people have probably heard of. Yeah. And we just went there. We had one beer each, and I went to pay the tab, and the beer tender was like, well, I have to serve you food. So good news is we have a dollar menu. Like, what would you like on the menu? So I had to buy a dollar worth of almonds before I could close my tab. You know, it's like we had the beer, but we couldn't pay the bill until we ate the dollar's worth of almonds. it was fun.
I am dumbfounded. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I think the frustration is that it just changes a lot. And I think it has gotten a lot better. I think 10 years ago, it was extremely different. If you went to these places, you had to have like a membership. That has all gone away, it seems like. We went to a lot of breweries. We went to Epic, which, you know, we like. We've had some of their beers on the show before. Wasatch that I mentioned. Park City Brewery. Park City was an awesome city. Ketos, which is a Finnish brewery. That was where I sent you the picture from of the 4%. It's called K-I-I-T-O-S. That was probably my favorite place there. There's a bunch that we didn't make it to that we had their beers at other sort of like beer tasting rooms. It seems like a place called Two Row Malt is maybe the most popular place in Salt Lake City. So I would recommend going there if somebody goes back, you know, to Salt Lake City. A place called Shades of Pale. There's just a lot of breweries that have opened in the last couple of years. Just know what you're getting into. Most are not open on Sunday. But like I said, it was kind of an adventure to figure out these laws as we travel around the city eating and drinking.
Sounds like fun, for sure. All right, well, let's do this.
And now, the beer news of the day.
All right, I saw this article. Every year they have something like this, where they come out with the number of craft breweries by state for the previous year. This is for 2017. And they have this infographic where they have the states with the most craft breweries in 2017, and then they have the per capita. So you can kind of see it breaking down by population versus just the raw number. So obviously number one by raw number is California, 764, Colorado, 348, Washington, 369, New York, 329, Michigan, 330. And so those are the purple ones. But the per capita is even more interesting. Oregon pops up to the top, or Montana pops up to the top.
Not Vermont?
Vermont? Yeah, Vermont is there. Yeah. Vermont is at 11.5. That's the most.
I just remember when we were in Vermont, what, like 2 years ago, that was one of their, you know, claims to fame was, I think they had the most breweries per capita.
Well, it's still true. They just have such a small state, it was hard for me to see it on the map. Maine is also up there at 9.6. Montana, 9.6, which is interesting. I guess it's just such a low population. Only four people live there, and so there's one brewery, and it's like per capita.
I would not have guessed that. I mean, I don't, maybe we just aren't exposed to that many Montana breweries.
We're not, that's for sure. But I think it's one of the least populous states, so. Wyoming, 8.4. And
that's pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. And Oregon, 8.5. For a state that has somewhat bigger population. So that's the main ones. But then if you look at just broad colors, certainly the South is the lowest. And then the Northeast is up there. Northwest is very high. And then the East, Northeast is very high also. So the South is still the most sparse.
This is the number of craft breweries, right?
Per capita, yeah.
Okay.
So if you look at that map, you can see like the lowest is, the whole South is kind of a green color. And the Midwest is kind of a blue color, which is more. And then you get into the Northwest and it's all purple and dark blue, which is more populated. So definitely the northern half of the country has double the breweries in the South, for just looking at this map.
And we'll put that up on the website, right?
Yep, I'll put a link to that. If you go to the podcast page, beerofthedaypodcast.com, right there on the front page, you'll see the Pumpkin Show 2018, and there's links to all these news stories. So, in other news, Harpoon is releasing their collaboration with Dunkin' Donuts called the Dunkin' Coffee Porter. And it was only a matter of time before they collaborated with some brewery on a beer. Starbucks is getting to the point where they're serving beer in their stores. They're trying that out in Oregon and other places. And, you know, they're kind of, I think a lot of times you have all these coffee people in the morning, and in the afternoon, you know, they don't do as much business. So they're trying to come up with some other way to kind of sell something else to continue to do business later in the day. So That was pretty interesting. I mean, Dunkin' Donuts is hugely popular in Boston and the Northeast. And according to the press release, Harpoon Dunkin' Coffee Porter is packaged in 6 packs of 12-ounce bottles and will be available at select retail locations across the eastern United States throughout the fall, starting today. So we may not even get that in California.
Sounds interesting. Harpoon is one of the like original Northeast breweries, so good to see them partner. I mean, I wonder if it's going to be any different than your normal coffee porter. Could just be a marketing thing.
Yeah, probably. Lagunitas will start brewing Newcastle Brown Ale. Look at this. Newcastle is owned by Heineken, and Lagunitas is now 100% owned by Heineken, and so they have decided to have Lagunitas brew, take over the brown ale and brew it at their locations. Now, I don't know if the recipe is going to change. I assume it will, because they're actually putting Lagunitas on the label. And brewed and bottled. Here's the label. 4.7% Newcastle Brown Ale. Brewed and bottled and seen a man about a dog at Lagunitas in Petaluma, California and Chicago, Illinois. So Newcastle is a beer that is an English beer that was probably a gateway for myself and a lot of other people. Where, how many years ago? 20 years ago?
Sure. 15?
Right?
15 to 20?
18 years ago. Let's say that.
Well, 20, we can say 20.
Okay, we can say 20. We were 16.
Statute of limitations has passed, so we're good.
Okay, so back then, the craft beer selection was very limited. You had Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. You had, that was it, Sam Adams.
I know that Newcastle was the number one beer that I drank in college.
Sam Adams Boston Lager. There was very little. They had all the Budweisers and all that, and that's what people drank because it was cheap. But if you wanted to splurge, you got this Newcastle Brown Ale, which was an import. I think at that point they were affiliated with Guinness and had the same distribution. So Guinness was everywhere. Newcastle was everywhere. Every gas station, every grocery store, you could get it easily. And it was good. It was sweet for people that, you know, people's beer palates were not advanced then. So it was darker. But it was pretty universally approachable as far as the flavor goes. It wasn't like super hoppy. It wasn't Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. So it was drinkable and it was good. And I liked it a lot. And it kind of got my foot in the door into something besides the macro beers. And it's interesting now that it's come full circle and one of the big pioneers of the hoppy IPA is now brewing Newcastle Brown Ale.
The whole thing's just kind of funny to me. I mean, I used to drink a lot of Newcastle. Today, if I had to drink a Newcastle, it would probably be painful. It's just too sweet for me. I just and the carbonation and the body, I just can't do it. But I'll tell you, now that it's being brewed by Lagunitas, I will probably buy it once to try it, to see how it compares to 20 years ago and just see how it is. But it is interesting and a little bit ironic.
Yeah, that's true. Then the other bad news for Lagunitas is they are laying off 12% of its workforce. It's more than 100 people across the company in Chicago, Azusa, and Petaluma. They're having to tighten their belts a little bit because this downturn in the craft beer market is affecting them as well. And so they're having to kind of consolidate things a little bit and get a little leaner to try and get through this. And they went on to say that these types of things have happened in the past and they've had to do the same type of thing. I think last week or the show before we talked about how Anheuser-Busch was starting to see a little bit of issues with sales and the big beers like Sierra Nevada and Sam Adams, same thing. They're starting to see less growth or even a decline in some cases. And I think that it's no different for Lagunitas.
You know what news story I'm waiting to see is, you know, craft breweries are getting into like the marijuana business a little bit, and Constellation Brands, which, you know, is this huge conglomerate. They own Ballast Point plus all, you know, most of the like Mexican beers. They are getting into the marijuana business, and I'm shocked that Lagunitas has not yet. They haven't announced. They have?
They have. I mean, I've seen it now at the store, but in this article, it says Lagunitas has recently been exploring non-beer business possibilities, starting with launching the production of Hi-Fi Hops, a non-alcoholic sparkling water infused with THC in June. Shortly thereafter, the company released another non-alcoholic hop-flavored sparkling water, which I've seen in the stores already. So I saw a Lagunitas product that was hop water.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I would think they would be, if Tony McGee is still calling the shots at all, I would think they'd be getting into THC infused beer as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, I think he is, and they are. So all is well at Lagunitas, despite the fact that they have to lay some people off. All right, well, let's get into the next beer. This is the sour offering for this show. It's called the Pumpkin Tart. It's from Brewery Vivant in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it says it's an ale brewed with real pumpkin and spices. Now, I don't know if that means that all these other beers have fake pumpkin, but this one for sure is real. Good to know.
Allegedly. Really similar color to the last beer, kind of a golden orange bordering on like an amber color. But this one is hazier. I cannot see through it. And it's got a much thicker head, at least, you know, 1 to 2 fingers of more of a foamy off-white colored head with a lot of lacing. Not exactly what I was expecting for what's going to be a tart sort of sour ale. Usually these have like very thin wispy heads that disappear quickly.
On the aroma, I'm looking for the sourness or the farmhouse Brett type of smell. I'm not getting that. It smells kind of like the last one, maybe a little more reserved, maybe a little less malty, but I do get the pumpkin spices right there.
I get a little bit of tartness, almost like a Gosa style. Not overwhelming tartness or like saltiness, but there's a little bit there.
So on the taste, on the initial sip, I get that regular pumpkin ale, kind of traditional pumpkin ale, and I'm waiting for the sour, and I don't detect it, and then the aftertaste hits, and then there's the sour. It really is a two-phased beer where you get the pumpkin ale in the beginning, and you get the tartness in the aftertaste.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a little tart, especially on the back end. But if you didn't know this was a pumpkin beer, like, I don't know that that's the first flavor I would think of. If I just tried this, it has kind of a fruitiness to it that, you know, could be pumpkin. But I also, like, if it was any other time of the year, I might think it's some other type of fruit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the giveaway for me, what I associate with pumpkin, is the nutmeg and the spices, the brown sugar, nutmeg, allspice type of thing, where you get those festive spices and then you think it's pumpkin. But you're right. As far as the fruit goes, I'm not really getting the pumpkin fruit. I'm just getting that sourness in the aftertaste. But there is the pumpkin spices for sure.
I think there's a little bit of sweetness also, and not, you know, maybe it's like a honey sweetness. It's not like a brown sugar sweetness that some of these might have. It is an appropriate sweetness for this type of a beer. I enjoy this. I think it is light on the pumpkin flavors. If somebody does not like pumpkin beers, this might be one that they would be agreeable to drinking.
And at 7%, quite a bit higher ABV than the last one. And it's not very detectable detectable to me. It's still a lighter mouthfeel. You know, Goza is a good description. On the can, it says farmhouse, but there's very little funk here. Like, I'm not getting the farmhouse funkiness. So I think, you know, the lighter Goza type of tartness is more descriptive of it for me.
And I think after a few sips, it is a little lighter body. I think it's actually light on the carbonation. At first, I thought it was kind of heavy. I thought it had kind of a dry mouthfeel, and it does, but it's light. I mean, this is another one that you could sip several of these. It's not going to fill you up. It's not heavy. You can drink this on a warm late October day.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I just think it's interesting to do a tart or slightly sour pumpkin ale. I don't think we've had any of those in the past, from what I can recall. I think the interesting thing about...
We had the...
Almanac.
Almanac. There you go. You beat me to it.
Almanac. Yeah. Okay. We'll go back to that. You're absolutely right. This is... We have had an almanac beer that is similar with this. Because I think the interesting thing about pumpkin beers is you can make pumpkin beers into a variety of styles. I doubt you would do like an IPA or a pale ale, but you tend to do stouts, porters, brown ales, golden ales or blonde ales, like the first beer. You don't see a lot of these that are kind of like the sour or tart ales. But it's interesting that you can do that sort of variety and cover the whole spectrum with pumpkin. So I appreciate the creativity for this brewery to try their pumpkin beer in this style.
Yeah, and that's a good thing about pumpkin beers is that every year you get a variety of different styles in one show. Like sometimes you do a stout show and everything tastes the same. Here you get all the different styles that they just have that pumpkin in common. So that is the first two. When we come back, we got three more to try of different styles again. And we will have comments from the listeners. And then we'll pick our favorite pumpkin beer of the year. All that when we come back. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this show and want to help us out, you can do so a couple of different ways. One is by telling your friends about it. You have friends that like craft beer. You like to drink craft beer. Just mention to them, hey, I got this podcast I listen to every couple of weeks, and it's kind of good. They talk about a lot of different styles of beer. And, you know, if you're driving in the car, people commute, whatever, it's good to just have something you can turn on and listen to, kind of keep in touch with the craft beer world, the news, and learn about some beers of different styles that maybe you don't normally try. So share it with your friends. Rate and review us on iTunes. Helps us move up the ranking. And if you're shopping on Amazon, and Christmas is just around the corner, you're going to have to start doing your Christmas shopping soon. When you do that, before you buy something on Amazon, click through the banner on our website. There's a banner that says shop on Amazon. You click that, do your regular shopping, and then we get a little percentage back from Amazon. They give us 4 or 5 or 6% based on what you spend. So that all adds up, and we get to take that money that the Amazon gives us and buy beers for future shows, pay for web hosting, all the expenses here. That we have to pay every month to be able to continue to do this. So shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website helps us out considerably.
Yeah, whatever he just said. Let's get back to the show.
Got a little pumpkin music there. Smashing Pumpkins. Let's get into the next beer. this is the kind of the most Halloween-y beer we have on the show tonight. It's called Brains. It's a pumpkin ale for zombies. 7.8% from Spring House Brewing Company in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
This is probably the one I've been most looking forward to, solely because out of the five beers tonight, I've had beers from four out of the five, and this is the first beer I've ever had from Spring House Brewing Company.
Now, looking at them online, they seem like they're a pretty good-sized brewery, popular, so looking forward to trying this one as well.
Not Brains. The color I expected. I sort of thought this would be like a darker porter style. Like, it's hard to tell. Like, pretty much every brewery labels these as just pumpkin ales, and you oftentimes don't know what, like, sort of base style you're getting into until you try it.
Yeah, now this one looks like an Oktoberfest beer. It's quite clear, maybe a little bit more orange than the standard Oktoberfest beer. Just a off-white head.
Fairly thick head, kind of creamy, pillowy. Just not what I was expecting on the pour.
No, when it's a black can like that with zombies, you expect it to be a little darker. But 7.8%, that's pretty getting up there.
So the aroma just kicks you in the teeth. It smells like Halloween candy or something like that, like orange. Citrus, but also like a candy smell.
Yeah, like there definitely is a sugar smell, candy, candy corn type of smell.
Yeah,
it really doesn't even smell like a beer, honestly.
Not at all.
It smells like something else.
I can't say I like this one.
In some ways, it tastes like it smells. There's, boy, and then there's a kick of an aftertaste, like a few seconds after the initial aftertaste.
There's kind of a, I don't want to say chemically, but it has this like artificial,
it does.
Like a candy. No, it's not even that. It tastes a little like, bit like
cleanser.
Yes. Kitchen, I was going to say soap or cleaning solution.
Kitchen cleanser of some kind.
I mean, it's drinkable. I'm not barfing this up. But it tastes a little bit like soapy water.
Or like Simple Green or something.
Neither is good. So there are some pumpkin spice flavors. It might be a stretch, but I would say there's some like cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, those types of more traditional pumpkin beer flavors, but I just can't get over the overall flavor is this chemically cleaning solution fluid we're drinking.
Yeah, you can't get past it. Before we even started the show, you were talking about how sometimes there's pumpkin beers that taste like pumpkin pie. There's some that taste like pumpkin fruit, and the good ones are the ones that taste natural and not artificial. You don't want that artificial pumpkin flavor, like artificial banana. You know, when you get like banana candy, it doesn't taste like banana. It tastes like something else, right? You want something that tastes like real banana or real pumpkin in this case. This does not. This is artificial, but it's also astringent. There's something, I don't know. I mean, you don't sugarcoat things on this show. I mean, we try to keep an open mind if brewers are doing something different, but if you get a bad beer, you get a bad beer.
I'm just going to say this. I don't want to be mean, but this is probably the worst beer I've had the whole year.
There's something off about it.
It doesn't taste like beer. I think that's what it is. It's not like, like I said, I'm not spitting it up. I'll drink it, but it doesn't taste like beer. It tastes like tolerable chemicals.
Yeah. So I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to get up and go pour it out. You know, I poured myself half a glass, but I just can't see myself enduring another half a glass of this. If I don't have to, and I don't. I can just pour it out. So I'm going to do that real quick.
Dallas is pouring out his beer. The sad part about this is I have three more of these in the fridge. I don't know what I'm going to do with these. Is it illegal to hand these out to trick-or-treaters? I mean, I could card kids that come to the door, and if they're old enough, I could just hand this out to them.
What's that?
I was just talking while you were gone. Like, the sad part is I have three more of these cans. I was thinking, like, could I hand these out to trick-or-treaters? Like, if I cart, you know, there's always like the old kids that come around trick-or-treating.
Not 21-year-old kids, though.
Yeah, there might be. Like, if I card some of them and hand these out, if they're 21, they might think this is really, really good. I think that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Well, I can't bring myself to drink the other three.
Yeah, but it would be wrong to hand them out.
It would. I would turn those kids into Coors Light drinkers for the rest of their lives.
Man, that was disappointing. I feel bad.
I feel bad. I don't mean to like knock a beer, and most beer in general I like. There's most beers I like, and then there's a lot of beers that I really love. It is rare for me to find a beer that I really just can't drink.
Especially since the presentation is so good. The can is good, the name is awesome, it looks so cool, and you drink it and it's, what are they doing? Okay, let's play devil's advocate. We got this on Tavor. It's from Pennsylvania. We're in California. They had to ship this to Washington, to Tavor, and then down to us. They shipped it separately, and who knows how long it's stuck around. Probably not that long, because it's a seasonal beer, which means it can't be that old. I mean, we're not even to Halloween yet. So,
yeah, it's not old. It's just their recipe.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Guys, you got to do better. You know, yeah, I don't like trashing a beer, but that's pretty bad. It's pretty bad if I don't want to finish a beer. That says a lot.
I'm going to finish what's in my glass only because I don't want to get up and pour it out. But I am not going to finish the other half that's in this can.
Okay.
Well, absolutely not.
I'm moving on to upslope. I was going to do the comments, but I can't leave that taste in my mouth, so I'm gonna go on to the next beer. Upslope, Boulder, Colorado. This is a pumpkin ale brewed with pumpkins and spices. 7.7%. This comes in a nice golden can here. Ingredients: snowmelt malt, baby bear pumpkins, hops, yeast, and spices.
Sorry, I'm a little behind. I'd have some water after. I had to cleanse the palate after that beer.
Specs: handcrafted, aluminum can, portable, recyclable, good. Pumpkins grown and harvested by Munson Farms, munsonfarms.com.
So this is the darkest color of the beers tonight so far. It's sort of a medium to dark amber with a really thick, probably two fingers of off-white, creamy, foamy head. This looks like a good, like, traditional pumpkin ale.
Yeah, and it's quite clear, but it's also kind of thick. You can, it's a little syrupy, you know. Some beers are very clear, but you can, like, see every bubble through them. This one here is very clear. No noticeable carbonation floating up. And it's got that really dark red orange color, like a sunrise or something. Beautiful looking beer.
Yeah, and lots of lacing on the glass. I mean, even before my first sip, I mean, it's noticeable as you twirl it in the glass.
On the aroma, I'm getting less of the spices that we had on the previous beers, and I'm getting more malty sugariness. It's more of a bready malt and a lot of sugar on the aroma, and not so much of the cinnamon spices.
I agree with that. The malty flavors I get, this is going to sound kind of weird, but it smells sort of like a V8, the vegetable aroma you get in a V8. And that's not a bad thing, but it just, before taking one sip, that's sort of what it smells like to me.
Well, that could be an indicator of fresh pumpkin taste, as opposed to, you know, V8 is a very fresh tomato flavor, but there could be, you know, a fresh pumpkin flavor might have a similar characteristic to that.
Yeah. So one sip in, I like it. It has, I don't know, I keep thinking of the V8, but it has that sort of like mouthfeel like a V8, the consistency of it. It's, I don't want to call it thick, but it is definitely thicker than the other beers we've had.
It's a little syrupy. It's very low carbonation. I don't really detect much carbonation at all. There is the pumpkin flavor. Like you said, it's kind of a fresh pumpkin flavor. It's not overwhelming, but it's there. And then I get that sweet, sugary type of maltiness.
Yeah, like a brown sugar flavor. But it's not super sweet. It's mildly sweet. It is slightly syrupy, but it's medium bodied for sure, whereas all the other beers tonight have been very light bodied.
Yeah. This is a little bit of a thicker beer. You know, it doesn't have the extreme spices that a lot of pumpkin beers have. Like, maybe they take it a little too over the top. This is really reserved on the spiciness, but I do think that it does taste a lot like pumpkin pie. Like, there's a lot of similar characteristics to the pumpkin pie where, you know, it's sweet and bready and pumpkin-y, and even the mouthfeel mimics it because it has low carbonation, and pumpkin pie kind of has a smoothness to it that, you know, is not typical for a beer.
So I disagree a little bit with what you're saying. I actually think there's a lot more spice in this beer and less pumpkin flavor. I also think there's a bit of a bitterness that is might be from the hops. I think this is the hoppiest of the beers tonight. It's kind of like a herbal hoppiness that to me gives a lot more of those flavors, like the allspice and the nutmeg and the, you know, it's like the spice that's not sweetness, but it's sort of like the bitter, more pungent spice.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm getting more of that, of your description as you're saying it. I think that a lot of my initial take was transition from that previous beer, you know?
Yeah.
Substantially different. So I do get that hoppiness you mentioned, a little bit of the bitterness coming through. Initially, this was so syrupy and it wasn't even like a beer to me, but the more I drink it, the more the actual beer qualities are coming out.
I think this is a more traditional pumpkin ale, and I think it's for the people that don't like this. Like, I think there's a little bit of sweetness, but it's not the overly sweet sugariness like you get in some like pumpkin pie. I don't consider this to be like a dessert beer. I think this is more of like a hearty, the herbal hops. When I talk about the V8, this is like a hearty autumn beer, with some pumpkin flavors, but this is like a sort of like a fall warmer, if that makes sense. Sort of like our winter warmers, but in the fall.
Yeah, certainly. I think this is the most traditional pumpkin beer that we've had tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I like this. It's not phenomenal, but it is, it's good. It's enjoyable. I could drink this. I mean, this is perfect for this time of year, especially if it's a little bit cooler. I could sit outside and just sip this all night.
Yeah. Yeah, solid job.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. On Instagram, black.sinpataya. I just had a look at your photos. Your perspective is normal, but composition is great. Just wanted to say, wink, peace sign. So what does that mean, Jeff?
I don't know. I think it's a compliment, but I don't know what that means to say that your perspective is normal.
I mean, I think just in general life, it's good to have like a normal perspective. And your composition's great, so.
I agree. I think my composition is great on most of the photos, but I don't know what the, I don't know what he means by the perspective. But thank you.
I mean, your like photography-wise, he's talking about maybe the blurring of the background, you know? I don't know. I think your photos look really good, though. Every day, go to beerofthedaybeerofthedaycom. We post the beer on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Beer of the Day. You can find us on all social media. And sign up for an account on beerofthedaybeerofthedaycom. We'll email it to you or text message you the Beer of the Day each and every day, and you'll get Jeff's wonderful photos. We had a little snafu on Facebook. Facebook changed their API so that you can no longer automatically post things to a page. So we've just been skating along, and it automatically posts the Beer of the Day to Facebook each day. No longer the case. We've got to do it by hand every day, which is good because, you know, like the Russian bots can't just like post and meddle with our elections and stuff. So for the same reason that, you know, we're cracking down on the Russians, they're also cracking down on Beer of the Day and making us do things the hard way, which is in a way a good thing. So we will be by hand posting the Beer of the Day to Facebook each and every day. Brandon Solberg said, I hope everything is okay with you. I've missed your post this last week. I think maybe he thought we drank too much beer and, you know, had a mishap because we stopped posting to Facebook. And so he sent me that and I was like, oh, wait, we're not posting anymore. And he alerted me that, hey, something was wrong. And then I did some research and yeah, that's what happened. So the Facebook posts are back up and running again. But if you don't see it on Facebook, you can get it on Instagram, Twitter, on the website itself, beerofthedaybeerofthedaycom, or sign up for our emails and text messages and we'll send it to you each day. So many, many ways to get the Beer of the Day. All these beers tonight, these five pumpkin beers, will be the Beer of the Day at some point between now and Halloween. So look forward to that as well.
I would just add, you know, I think a lot of our listeners get their beers from Tavor, as we get some of our beers from Tavor, not all of them. All of these tonight are from Tavor. If you're out there and you're drinking these same beers, give us a comment. Tell us what you think. I mean, our opinion is just the, you know, our own two opinions. So post a comment, tell us what you think, put it on Instagram. You know, we'd love to hear your thoughts because maybe somebody loves that Brains pumpkin ale. I mean, who knows, but post a comment. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, for sure. And if you have any beers in your area, breweries in your area that you're a fan of, that we might not necessarily get on Tavor or get here in California, you can post Beers of the Day. Write a description, put a photo up there, post it up on beerofthedaybeerofthedaycom, and we will feature it as the Beer of the Day and send it out to all of our people. And we've got 10,000 people on Facebook, 5,000 on Twitter, a couple thousand on Instagram. So there's some reach there, and it allows everybody to kind of get an idea of the local beer scene throughout the country. And so there might be beers in some state that we don't really get to see too much of. And if you're there, you can help us out by help out the local brewery, first of all, by getting national exposure. Second of all, let us kind of have a glimpse at the beer scene where you are. So if you want to help us out and help out your local beer scene, post a Beer of the Day. That would be awesome. And also, it's less work for Jeff to do.
Yeah.
It's his liver, man. It needs a break. And if you have any comments on any beers you want to make or on the show or anything in general, call 844-311-BEER. Beer is 2337. 844-311-BEER. That's toll free. If anyone ever paid tolls anymore. But you can call, leave a message. That's the Beer of the Day hotline. And we will play your message on the next podcast. So that could be fun. Give us a call. 844-311-BEER. All right, let's get into the final beer of the night. This is called Just Pumpkin. It is a pumpkin ale, surprisingly, from Rahr and Sons Brewing Company in Fort Worth, Texas. This is part of their Den of Sins series. Very cool can. It's got the scarecrow head with the buttons on it, freaky looking. It's all white with black lettering and some orange. And then it's got some Oktoberfest type of sentiments. So cool looking can for sure.
Yeah, best label. Like when you listen to this, within about a week, it's going to be posted as a beer of the day. And I will try my best to put up a good photo to give this can some justice with that label.
7.8%.
Color's pretty dark, like a dark amber, kind of like the last beer, medium to dark amber. Again, a pretty thick head, which I appreciate. Like it's at least a finger of off-white. Again, foamy head.
I mean, poured mine a little great. More vigorously. It's like three fingers.
Yeah.
Again, it's got that red-orange color. It looks very similar to the previous beer. And also, again, looks a little syrupy and no noticeable carbonation in the actual beer itself.
So this one is a brown ale, which is probably the most common style to make a pumpkin beer, from my experience. But this is really our first brown ale tonight that's a pumpkin beer.
That they call a brown ale. I mean, if any one of these other beers could have characterized themselves as that.
The last one could have been maybe a pumpkin ale. I mean, I'm sorry, a brown ale.
Right.
But the first three definitely were not.
One being definitely an amber or a lager, one being a sour, and one being a pint.
Not a beer. So the aroma is not strong on this one. It's pretty reserved.
If you get your nose in there, though, you do get a little pumpkin, a little spice, but it's not. It's probably the least aromatic beer we've had tonight.
But on the taste, you know, it might be the most traditional. It's hard to compare this one and the last one, but one of these is the most traditional pumpkin style. This one has a lot of spice. I get a lot of cinnamon and clove and maybe even some ginger, nutmeg, allspice. There's all these like seasonal spices that sort of, it's hard to differentiate between them, but there's a lot of spice.
More on this one than the previous one. More spice, yeah.
Yeah.
And then now 30 seconds after taking a sip, I still have a lot of spice on my tongue.
And it has kind of I think what I like about this one, it has a malty sweetness. The last beer, I didn't get really any sweetness. I tasted some different stuff, but this one has a malty sweetness. It's kind of like caramel malt.
Yes.
Brown sugar. It's not, again, it's not a dessert beer. It's not like the super sweet pumpkin pie, but there is some definite sweetness on the back end of this beer, which is quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I think this is the most traditional pumpkin beer we've had tonight. It is equal parts pumpkin pie type of flavor and pumpkin spice in the aftertaste. So you get both of those worlds big time, and then you get that Oktoberfest amber Marzen kind of base beer. They say brown. In my experience, brown ales are a little more brown than this. This is a little more amber to me than brown.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I don't think this is a brown ale in my mind. It's also hoppier than I think all the beers tonight. I think the upslope was pretty hoppy, but this is even hoppier than that one. This one has like an earthy, like grassy hop flavor. I know we've mentioned like the Oktoberfest beers, the Marzens and whatnot that have a similar flavor. This one has a clear hoppiness that a lot of pumpkin ales do not have. And I like that.
I do too. I think this is a great tasting beer. There's an adjustment though. Like the spices were coming through so much the first sip as an adjustment to the previous beer, but now I've had a few sips and my palate has adjusted and it's not as overwhelming as it was in the beginning. So that's a good sign to where you get a little more drinkability in the beer once you've had a couple sips.
Well, you know, this is 7.8%, and actually all of these beers are fairly high alcohol content, but none of them taste boozy. This is not, I mean, I would think this is like 5.5, 6%. Maybe I drink too much, I don't know, but all of these, the alcohol content is higher than I would have expected.
Second half of the show, we had 7.8, 7.7, 7.8, and none of them had a noticeable amount of alcohol. Which compared to like the stout show we did recently, a lot of those were similar percentages, and several of them you could taste it for sure. There was a booziness.
Yeah, but we were drinking like 14.7% Goose Island.
On the last one, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But this is good. I mean, these last two are, I think, obviously more traditional, but these have just the right, this is just well balanced. It's like, I think you mentioned it, the pumpkin flavors, the spice, nothing completely overwhelms you. But what I appreciate is the hoppiness. It really mellows everything out.
It does. Before the show, Jeff and I were talking and I was mentioning to him how much I like the Oktoberfest beers, and we didn't do an Oktoberfest show this year. First year we didn't do one. We did the past 3 years we did one, but this year we had to kind of pick between Oktoberfest and pumpkin, and Oktoberfest comes first, and we kind of missed the boat on that, so we ended up with just the pumpkin. But I've had a lot of good Oktoberfest beers, and this one has a lot of those Oktoberfest qualities, which I enjoy, where they kind of mix the Oktoberfest with a little pumpkin flair on the end of it, and you end up with a kind of a best of both worlds type of blend, which I enjoy considerably.
True that.
All right, well, I'll take us through what we just had, and then we can pick our favorite beer of the day. We started with the Isle Magordo from Due South Brewing Company in Boynton Beach, Florida. We followed that up with the Pumpkin Tart from Brewery Vivant in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's the farmhouse one. A little bit of a sour quality. After the break, we had Brains Pumpkin Ale for Zombies, Spring House Brewing Company, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Now, we didn't talk about that, but it is an ale for zombies. Neither Jeff or I, last time I checked, is a zombie. So this beer wasn't actually made for us. So it could be that that quality, that that chemical cleaning detergent type of quality is something that zombies appreciate more than humans. So take that into consideration, Jeff.
I'm not going to choose it as my beer of the day.
So. I'm not either, but I'm just saying, you know, I was looking for like devil's advocate things like, oh, maybe it was the shipping going to Washington and then down to us, or maybe something else, you know, but that, it says on the can it was made for zombies, and we are not zombies. So it wasn't made for us. So really, we really have to ask a zombie. If you're a zombie, try this beer and leave a comment.
Actually, I want anybody to leave a comment because I want to know what other people think of that beer.
Zombie or human. We'll take anything. If you can type, then type it in there.
Maybe we're wrong. Let's hear what everybody has to say.
Wouldn't be the first time. We then had the Upslope Pumpkin Ale, Upslope Brewing Company, Boulder, Colorado. And we finished it off with the Rahr and Sons Brewing Company from Fort Worth, Texas. Pumpkin. Their pumpkin ale. Jeff, you get to pick first tonight.
All right. So for me, it really comes down to the last two beers. But I've been trying them side by side while Dallas was going through the list here. And my decision is that I'm going to go with the Upslope Pumpkin Ale. I think that beer is the one that is most like a pale ale, almost an IPA, but not really. But more my style, and I just think that's my favorite. I like the herbal hop flavor, the lack of sweetness. Sometimes these pumpkin beers have just too much sweetness, and I'm not a big sweet flavor person. So that was the one that was most enjoyable for me, that on like a you know, cold October or even November evening, I would go to during pumpkin beer season. So I'm going with the Upslope.
And I'm taking the opposite approach. Rahr and Sons, that is the beer for me. That is the perfect pumpkin beer, I think. It has equal parts of pumpkin flavor and a lot of the spice, so you're not getting cheated on the festive spiciness of it. And then it's all built on top of a solid Marzen Oktoberfest beer. And I just think it's great, very well balanced, 7.8%. So you're getting your money's worth as far as that goes. Really good beer all the way around. So I think we finished off strong with that one, with the show as far as the last two beers. Honorable mention though, Isle of Magordo, Due South, that very light pumpkin beer. You know, there's something to be said about not being too heavy at 5% or 5.5%. It was also quite good. So I'll just mention that. You have an honorable mention, Jeff?
Well, I like the Rahr and Sons as my second favorite. But I agree. I like the Due South. I think, especially in California, that lighter style could bode well this time of year. So it's nice to have a light pumpkin option once in a while.
It is. And the Brains, someone's got to explain that beer to us, because we missed the boat. All right, that will conclude the pumpkin show for 2018. Thank you for tuning in, and appreciate your comments. If you have had any of these beers or had any other notable pumpkin beers that you want to mention, leave a comment on the website, beeroftheday.com, or post them up as the beer of the day. We're going to fit as many pumpkin beers as we can in between now and Halloween. So we've got five here. Expect a pumpkin beer every couple of days. But if you guys submit some beers of the day, we can just go all pumpkin all the time and just, you know, enjoy the holiday here. So do that, and we will thank you in advance for that. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Beer of the Day. Email us feedback@beeroftheday.com. We will see you in a couple weeks. What do we got next, Jeff?
I don't know, but let's invite Billy Corgan out to drink a beer.
We're making use of his songs tonight. Hey, there's not that many pumpkin songs we got to choose from. All right, we'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.